We'll go digital in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the analog studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Hams that are experienced in DXing, contesting, as well as participating in DXpeditions are a rare find. Add to that significant experience in doing that all on RTTY, and you have Craig Thompson, K9CT. This Illinois ham was first licensed in 1967. Professionally, he founded Thompson Electronics Company in 1980 and is still CEO and sole stockholder of it. The company has about 40 employees and has many customers throughout Illinois. Craig spoke at the RTTY Forum at the 2016 Dayton Hamvention. While his talk targeted DXing and contesting on RTTY, his observations will still be helpful to you non-digital contesters and DXers alike.
We've been very fortunate. I built a contest station. You probably heard about it. It's K9CT. We generally do multi-2, WPX, and CQ Worldwide. In the last few years, we've been lucky, might be a little bit of a stretch because we actually work at it a little bit, but we have a lot of fun, and we've actually won these contests. We won the U.S., North America, which is a very competitive thing, and we did it from the black hole. And unless you know what that means, to sit there and listen to the East Coast guys work Europe for an hour before you even get a chance every day is kind of tough on us. I hope that when any operator comes to my station that they have a great time. And that's the point of why I built a station. Actually, when I built the station, I didn't realize that the best part of the whole deal was having friends come over and operate. And an extension of that is taking friends with you on a de-expedition. So if I could actually just say that if you were comparing between DXing and contesting, if you do any team activity, whether it's de-expeditioning or contesting, it's just a riot. I think that this is the key to everything, and I'm going to talk about this a lot. It's timing. I have observed so many ham radio operators that have such a lack of timing that I know that none of you are dancers. I sat there one day listening to a friend trying to work a DX station, and he kept calling and calling and calling. And I finally sent him a text. I said, "You don't dance, do you?" And he sent it back, "Why do you say?" I said, "You have no sense of timing." I'd like to talk about that a lot. And then, of course, it doesn't matter if it's CW, sideband, RTTY, anything you think about. Propagation is ultimately the key to all of this. And you need to study and understand it. It'll actually lead to less frustration, whether you're trying to work a DX station or you're in a contest. If you understand what's going on and just move on to something that you have better propagation that enables a QSO, you just have to understand what's going on. And of course, you have to have a pretty decent station. If you want a contest or you want to work DX, that's probably the pinnacle of anyone's ability. If you really want a contest and be competitive, or if you want to chase DX, you really try to think of every little detail to make you a better operator. The differences. If we talk about DXing, you're always changing frequency if you're chasing DX, right? If you are actually sitting on the same frequency, shame on you because your friends are not. And a lot of this has to do with observation. So I just say to you that if the first thing you do, if you know that there's a DX station to work, is to try to get on as quickly as possible and start calling, that's the first mistake, rule number one, because you need to understand what's going on and you need to observe what's happening on the band. You'll actually work them quicker if you don't call them fast. If I were you and you want to get in somebody's log very quickly, I think that if you take 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes and observe, you may actually work them on the first call because you'll figure it out. But the changing frequency, you need to have your station set up so that you can change frequency and see the impact of changing the frequency. You got to know why you're changing the frequency and you got to be able to see it. But obviously in contest, most of the QSOs are occurring simplex. In fact, if you're off frequency, you probably are not going to get in the log, especially with RTTY. Your neighbors have very narrow filters now. And if you are not in their passband, they're not even going to know you're there. They may know that one of your tones is in there and messing up the actual reception of signals, but you need to know that you're on frequency. So you got to make sure that you're transmitting and receiving on the same frequency. And it's easy to get that messed up even with like MMTTY that you could be transmitting, especially with AFSK. We take a look at the propagation now. This is something I think that all of you need to make sure you sit back and assess. And I can tell you as a de-expeditioner in particular, but also as a contester, the bands are constantly changing, but there's actually some predictability associated with every single day. The unusual events, no one can predict or know, but every day there's a pattern. In fact, you were to go back 30 days, like if you're planning a contest weekend, 27 days, the sun kind of repeats itself. And if you were to sit down 27 days before a contest, or before a de-expedition is on, generally you'll be able to have repeatable conditions a month later. That's something to think about. The other thing is what time of year it is, where's the sun, what's going to happen. You need to kind of pay attention to that. But I always recommend if you're going to do a contest or you're going to work a DX station, sit down a few days before and just run through the bands and see where it's open, what the conditions are like. Take a look at the indices. And remember, the SFI, the sunspots, the A, and the K are helpful, but most of it is history. It's just a guidepost for you in terms of information. But I think you really need to know as much about propagation as you possibly can, and here's why. If you're in a pileup and you think you're operating correctly and you're doing the very best that you can and a whole bunch of, say, W4s are getting in and you're not making it, you feel frustrated, you need to just move away. It's not open to your place right now. You may have a stack and you may have 1,500 watts and you may be the best operator in the world, but if you do not have prop, don't be frustrated and move in a contest. You're wasting time. That band will be open later, or it'll be tomorrow, maybe better, after all of the big guns are out of the way. But if you do that, you'll be less frustrated. Same thing goes with DXing. How many times have you called and called and called, and you just wonder, why am I not getting through? You'd be better off just coming back in an hour. I think understanding propagation and being patient will actually help you a great deal. If Ed's operating down at P49, you need to understand who he's working. If you sit there for a minute and you see he's just working all the W4s, and I don't want to pick on W4s, but they beat me all the time, just come back later. It'll be maybe open to the nines. You have to pay attention. In the case of a DX station, he never comes up for air. He's just calling, but he's working what's open. So he's kind of a propagation predictor. Just because you hear him doesn't mean it's open to you. So that's why I just think you need to sit back and observe what is happening. On DX expeditions, quite often, we get disappointed. When we were at Palmyra, for instance, the first week was awful. I felt like we had a sponge right over our head. And in fact, we might have. At a top band dinner, I actually talk about this electron cloud that was actually over the equator at the time, and it was moving around. And we actually felt that it was absorbing a lot of our signals coming and going from where we were. So if things are kind of funky, wait a few days and it might get better with a de-expedition. Obviously, when you're contesting and you're tuning into someone, you know, you want to be locked on that frequency. But actually, when you're working a DX station, you need to see the whole spread of stations calling. And if you do not have a pan adapter of some sort, I highly recommend it. It's gotten to the point now where I think everybody has one, and that's the secret. It didn't used to be that way, but now that everybody does, they know what's going on instantly. They can see who's being worked. I can tell you, when I'm the DX station and we have DQRM, we can see it. What I'll do is we'll decode it and we can see if it's actually an accident or somebody's actually messing with us. If we can see a solid carrier, if we move, it's on purpose. Sometimes they wonder, why did they move? You just watch. We move because we knew we had DQRM. So just stop, see what happened. We usually probably move a kilohertz away, up or down. But that's how we stop the DQRM. The DQRM guys are sitting there. They didn't even know what happened because they're still sitting there fussing on the old frequency. We can see what's going on, and then we can keep the pileup going. That's just a hint for you. Timing versus signal strength. If you're sitting there watching the station in contesting, just come back later. Don't waste your time.
You're listening to a top band RTTY contester, DXer, and de-expeditioner, Craig Thompson, K9CT, who is just as comfortable operating RTTY as he is voice. We'll conclude our excerpt from his 2016 Dayton Hamvention talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available 24/7 on therainreport.com, via Twitter at hashtag TheRainReport, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
There's two parts to contesting. One is running, which is my favorite, and S&P, or both at the same time, right? If you're doing SO2R, that's what you're doing. When we talk about this, if you're contesting, you're calling CQ, you're answering callers, simplex. What I would suggest, if you're able to have a rate, if you work the loud stations and you work them quickly with one call, that's how you get them in the log the fastest, and you're going to win. If you do not have your exchanges set to the quickest way, you're wasting time. You're wasting everybody's time. One of the problems is a lot of times when you're running, you're going to have a lot of guys that are very quick. They come right in, drop their call, you get their call, you work them, and they're gone. But you're going to get to a point also where you could have a lot of stations that's the same level, and they're all simplex. So at that point, it comes back to timing. If you have a big station and you call immediately and you always get answers, that's great. But if you happen to be in a packet pileup where the big guns are all there at the same time, it's just going to sound like two tones and no decoding. The solution to that is to just go 1001, 1002, and then hit your call. Just wait, because that tone's going to go by, and then we're going to get a great decode on the next. Then there's a guy that went 1003 and then hit his call once. And we're going to get a good decode on that, and we're going to stack the call. How do you know somebody's doing stacking? Because you took your time and you listened for a second, and you found out that he called one guy, he worked him, and then said, and now the next call, if you see that that happens, and there's a space, drop your call in once after the exchange has been done. And because I waited, or somebody that's really with it waited, you can stack another call. And you can do that without even saying QRZ or CQ. You can really keep a really good rate if you just go listen and go a little slower and take your time. I think that when you notice that there's a lot of stations and they're all in the same frequency, simplex, you just wait, then you'll decode and you'll work them faster. Don't just instantly call CQ again, because they're going to know what's going on. You just are probably not a very good operator, and they're going to just move on to the next guy, because they'll come back later when not that many guys are calling. The other thing is watch band for adjacent stations. And this is another thing. With a band scope, you can see your neighbors. The worst thing that you can do is drop next to somebody but overlap their tones. Isn't that aggravating? Who decodes what? Nobody decodes anything. It's better to be adjacent. Observe where you're dropping. And the best thing to do is sit there for a second. And if you have a waterfall and it's like 15 or 20 seconds long, chances are nobody's on that frequency. You don't need to even say QRL. You can just watch the waterfall because you got so many seconds to know that nobody's there. These are just little hints. But if I was on the other end and I was calling a contest station, you're going to always be responding to a CQ. And what do good radio operators do? Put their CQ at the end, right? They call CQ, call, and CQ. So you can always tell that that station called CQ. Again, it's timing. If you have a big station and you want to call right away, that's fine. But what you may want to do is listen for the first response if you don't have a big station. If nobody's calling, you got time. Remember, if he's a good operator, he's not going to instantly call CQ again. He's going to wait. So you can see, did anybody call? Wait that half second, then drop your call. And then you won't know you're competing against somebody. And why is that important? Because it's all timing. You got to think what's happening. If he doesn't hear anybody, and then you call, but let's say you call now and you actually drop your call and you say three times you dropped your call, you don't know who you're competing against. He may actually have already called somebody and have him in QSO, and you don't even know that that happened. And then you drop your call in again, and you're interfering now with the QSO. That has a lot to do with DXing, but I just think these are things you need to think about as an operator, that just take your time and watch what's going on with the station you're calling and the response from the crowd that's calling him. How many there are, who am I competing against, is a prop favoring me? Again, adjacent signals. If you're a W9 and there's a W9 right next door and he's interfering with the QSO, he may be interfering with you. And so when you go to call him, you're not going to make it through. So you just need to kind of look around and get the real estate of the band around you. Most of you are DXers. We all are. I love DXing. It's one of my favorite things to do. This is the thing that you need to do the most, and this is where the band scopes come in the best. You need to assess what's going on. You need to observe everything before you call at all. As a de-expedition, we know how important RDI and digital DXCC is. It's becoming very important. We know you want to work us. We know there's a lot of you. The best thing that we can do is get on right away and work you. You don't want us to wait 3 days before we get to RDI. Aren't you frustrated if a de-expedition says, oh, we'll be on RDI, but we're not going to do it right now. We're doing phone and CW. So I think you're going to find most de-expeditions now will be doing RDI right away. It will not be a last second thought. But this is the key. They're not going to be on every band. What they're going to do is they're going to make sure you get all the deserving, get in the log. So they're going to pick a band. This is where the propagation study comes in, because the de-expeditions know the best bands that are open all the time. It's probably going to be like 20 and 30 meters. They're going to pick a band. So let's say it's 30 meters. The best thing to happen is a de-expedition will set up high in 30 and then listen down so that you can't go out of band. I just want you to know the thought process going on. And we do the same thing for 17 meters and 12. Probably those bands won't be the ones that I'm going to choose as a de-expedition operator. But the point being, if you're on 30 meters, the band is open a lot. It's open actually when you don't even hear anybody on the band. It's open somewhere. If you really call CQ, you'd get an answer. I got to tell you, how many times on a de-expedition, we don't even need to call CQ. We'll test, not even give our call, and people start calling. Because they just know that we're there. They're sitting there, like, in front of their TV, waiting for the show to start. I can remember getting on and never calling CQ and just going crazy. You know, we ID. And, of course, a lot of times I'll go later to check our reverse beacon network to see how we're doing. Well, we never call CQ. Think about that. It's hard to get spotted. I especially do that for the top band, trying to find skimmer spots. Unless you call CQ, you're not going to get spotted. So anyhow, something to think about. What I was saying about this pilot management, we know what's going to happen on those very first few days. It's going to be total chaos. If you have a small station, you might want to just take a couple days off and observe what's going on, because we may have goals of like, well, yeah, we got to work Europe and we got to do this and we got to do, because they're tough paths. But what's going to happen is this, we need to get the big guns out of the way. There's a lot of them, by the way. Well, we got to get them out of the way, and we're going to do rate. What you need to do is observe who's calling. If it's big guns, by that I mean stacks and 1,500-watt stations, they're going to have band opening ability, and they're going to beat you. You could be a really good operator, and they could be a poor operator, but they have a big station. They're going to thunder right over the top of you. So don't be frustrated. Just understand what's going on. But this is an advantage of being a RIDI operator, and I'm telling you, we're going to stay on only one, two, or three bands. If you notice lately, all the de-expeditions, they limit it. Yes, you see like a club log, you know, where you see all of the spots where everybody's working them on all these different bands. You're only going to see that probably on the mega de-expeditions that are going to be there for 3 or 4 weeks. What they're trying to do is just get a lot of queues in the log and get over 100,000 or 150,000 queues to pay for the trip. But here's the deal, though. If we stay on, say, two or three bands, we're going to work the deserving. Everybody with 100 watts and a dipole. So here's the key. Sit there and look at the pileup and see who we're working and see how we work them. So you cannot drop in on top of somebody else and think you're going to work. So you got to see the pileup. So if you don't have a band scope, I highly recommend it. Otherwise, you're going to be tuning back and forth like this the whole time, right? The old way, wearing your finger out, trying to figure out how to work this guy. And your timing's going to be poor. If you even don't have two VFOs and you're constantly hitting a button, what's going to happen? You're going to make a mistake. You're going to call at the same time the DX station is, and then everybody's going to pile on that frequency saying, up, up, you know, K9 CT, up, up. Of course, it's bad. You know, you don't want that advertising. So you got to kind of sit there, observe the process. Here's the thing. Find the pattern as a DX station. Find the pattern. And if you see that they're going up 1 kilohertz at a time, down a kilohertz or two every time, you get the pattern. I know you're all experienced DXers in here. You all know that. Guess what it's like on our end of the stick? It's awful. If we got a band scope and we just sit back and we work somebody, I can tell you the next kilohertz up is all of a sudden going to be plugged. Just sit back and watch. You wouldn't believe it. Everybody's smart. That's the part now about DXing and RIDI and everything. Everybody's become a really smart operator. What I would highly recommend to you, and you can take this home, if you sit there and you look for holes, you're going to get work quicker. And I always tell my friends that are QRP and 100 watts and a dipole, you call above the pileup and I'll get you. I won't stay there, but I'll get you. I'll get you quick and I'll go right back to the edge.
And that concludes our excerpt from an energetic talk about contesting, DXing, and de-expeditioning via RIDI by Illinois Ham, Craig Thompson, K9CT, an HF enthusiast who has worn many hats as a contester, DXer, and de-expeditioner. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2016 RAIN. All rights are reserved. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73. From all the non-digital folks at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.